For those of you who weren't here on Wednesday night, I I've been persuaded to start recording these talks. Some of them may end up on the website, and some of them may not, depending on I don't know what. I never wanted to preserve these talks, and I never wanted to preserve really anything about this class, because the mere act of trying to preserve something distances you from the thing itself. Once you're trying to hold on to something, you've lost it. And there seems to me to be something precious in the passing of things, not in the holding of them. It's like I have told people, you can't hold on to a sunset. Trying to hold on to a sunset, especially, you know, if you're clicking pictures of it. You know, any of you who've printed those pictures and taken them home, they're certainly a facsimile of what the sunset looked like, but there is no way that that photograph gives you the experience of that sunset. All it does is it gives you a mental recollection of it, and you can go, oh yes, that was a beautiful sunset. But what was meaningful about that sunset was that it was in a state of constant transition, and you were there with it. That you existed in the moment of that sunset setting. There is nothing to preserve because, in a certain sense, we all know that we have a fair number of sunsets in our lives. There is something quite remarkable about the nature of patterning, the nature of repetition that occurs in all of our lives, and basically, it's a sign that things reoccur, they repeat. It's a wonderful gift in that we are given endless opportunity to view and witness and hold on to the sunset. Michael, I'm going to ask you to sit up. It's not really appropriate to be lying there. As I said on Wednesday, I was driving in the car the other night downtown, and Josh was with us, and he put in an iPod into our car speaker, and on his iPod he has all of Rudy's lectures, and one of them popped up. And it was pretty amazing because it was unexpected. And out of nowhere, Rudy was in my car, and he was filling the space. And his lecture of 30-some years ago was immediate for me. Not as a recollection, not as something going, oh yes, that's Rudy talking. It wasn't even reading his words. He was speaking right through my radio. And he filled the car not only with what he was saying, but with his presence. And that was very significant to me. And Matt had been asking if he could record the classes, and I just said, I don't know. But when I heard Rudy speak, and I realized that that presence is so real, that I would like to be able in some way to preserve, and forgive me for using that word, but to hold on to this moment, because this moment will be that moment for you at some time. Unlike a photograph which is a representation of that moment. This is that moment. This is that moment now. And if you listen to this in 10 years or 20 years, it will be now. So it is not preserving something as a concept. It is, in a way, preserving the thing itself. It will be alive for you or whoever listens to it when they listen. I woke up this morning trying to feel what is there before there is something. For some reason, this flooded my awakening consciousness. What is there before there is something? I have to say, that question is in some ways the source of almost all philosophy, almost all religion, and even science. What does something emerge from? If you try to approach that subject intellectually, bless you, if you try to approach it intellectually, it engages the mind in a fairly remarkable way. It's an incredible question. And it takes the mind on a journey. It's a journey the mind can't get to the end of. If any of you have tried it, and I suspect everyone in this room at some point along the way has done that. What exists before there is existence? What do I come from? What do I emerge from? It's, in a sense, what they call a mind-boggling question, which means the mind can't get there. But the reaching for that, the effort to move in that direction, is so